Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. And I'm sure that with the weather we've been having, most of your queries will be about snow and frost. With temperatures freezing, plants and the garden can come under severe threat. So later on, I'll be speaking to a friend of the podcast, grafter Will Sibley. He'll be explaining what you can do at this time of year to achieve the highest tree fruit yields. My thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast. Well, it was pretty miserable weather for me last Sunday. Really cross, because I had a whole list of things to do. But it was really cold and drizzly and wet. And so I'm afraid I stayed indoors and did a number of jobs that were desperate there. But there was a little bit of good news. I have my first snowdrop showing colour and coming into flower. It's a variety called Harmony. And I see that I got it, first of all, in 2002. So that's been flowering pretty regularly for a long time. I need to just check up. I think it came from Turkey, where they were starting to cultivate snowdrops to stop people digging them from the wild. We've had a bit of fun, too. We've done a little video preparing for Christmas lunch. And when I went round the garden, I was surprised. Quite a lot of vegetables. The purple sprouting, a variety called Rudolph, is just coming up nicely. Got some really good sprouts, of course. Parsnip, that came out pretty well. And some really lovely young carrots and the herbs, parsley and sage. So if you want to see me in Christmas kit, getting ready for the Christmas lunch, then have a look at Sun Gardening and you'll see the video there. We like to come up with things that are new. And just recently I popped into Coolin's Garden Centre at Knockholt. Actually, it's about, I don't know, 5 or 8 minutes off the M25, and it's a great place to stop off. Their coffee shop and restaurant called Arthur's. Arthur was the original Cooling 3 generations back. That's a great place to get a cake and a cup of coffee, I'll tell you. Anyhow, I popped in to see the boss man, Gary, and on my way out, I noticed in one of the unheated greenhouses a whole bench of Camellia sasanqua Yuletide charm. I can hear some of those really good plantsmen saying, well, what's special about that? Well, I'll tell you what was special about it. They were in 11-centimetre pots. There were 2, 3 or 4 cuttings really close together in that 11-centimetre pot. They were about 6 or 9 inches high, really well branched and full of flower bud. I mean, the sasanquas are fragrant and not entirely hardy. I mean, I've had them in Essex survive for 7 or 8 years through the winter, but that was fairly big plants that were quite woody. So if you're buying one of these, you would need to keep it protected, certainly through the coming 2 months. But the skill that the nursery, wherever it was that was growing this, is just unbelievable. To be able to root those cuttings, have several in one pot and get them to grow to just the right size, but also form flower bud and then be in flower in 2 years. I mean, it was really quite remarkable. They must have been grown in exactly the same way that the Danish especially and some of the Dutch grow pot roses. Once the 2 or 3 cuttings in the pot of roses get about 4 or 5 inches high, they have a cutter bar which just cuts the tops off. And those cut off tops make the cuttings for the next batch. And just 4 cuttings to a pot, nicely branched, in flower. And apart from inserting the cuttings, those pots will never be touched. They're picked up by robots put onto benches, and the computers control where the bench goes in the greenhouse, the temperature, the watering, the feeding. Nobody really does anything much until they're in bud and ready to be sleeved. I mean, we live in an amazing world, and that somebody could do that with Camellia sasanqua, I thought was really quite remarkable.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now we have some great people for interview, and one of the earliest when we started this podcast nearly a year ago was grafter Will Sibley. Is that all right, Will, to call you grafter? That's what they
delighted,
know, isn't it?
Delighted by my proper name, yes.
And you actually have a graft named after you, don't you?
I do. Sibley's modified rind graft.
Now, well, the reason I made the phone call today, most important, I thought, that with really cold, freezing temperatures and frozen soil, people receiving bare root fruit trees and bushes will need some advice, won't they?
Yes, they do. I think the first thing to do is not to panic. During the winter months when the leaves have gone off the trees, then in a very simplified form, you have a bit of a sealed unit in a plant. There is very, very little transpiration going on. It certainly can't transpire out of the leaf. There will be some of the more tender shoots, the tips of the trees, which will transpire a little bit, and you'll get some shrivel coming on those. But generally, the tree is a bit of a sealed unit. So the first thing, not to panic. A tree out the ground, when it arrives to you, is going to be fine. And the main nurseries that deal with mail order, or indeed that you buy at a garden centre, if it's going to be a bare root tree, those trees are going to be pretty good for 2 to 3 weeks, just left as they are. Now, let us assume you're going to be receiving from a mail order supplier or an internet supplier, something like that. You'll find that the tree will come very well packed in a box or sometimes in a polythene sleeve. The roots, I think, will always be wrapped in a polythene bag and very nearly always with some form of compost in that bag. That form of compost is not protecting the root, but it is a very, very useful reservoir of wet soil moisture, which the roots can just be coated in, and they'll stop them drying out mainly.
So when the plants arrive, Will,
yep.
it is worth just opening the packaging, check the roots, and if there isn't anything around the root, to put a bit of damp potting compost in a polythene bag around the roots.
That yes, would you be... can. The other thing you can do, if you've got one handy, is a big pot, put the roots into a pot and then pour on some any compost really will do, as long as it's not fresh organic compost, something like a manure or something like that, which might burn the roots in any way, but just anything that you've got, any old pots that you've finished with, geraniums, pots of geraniums, things like that, take that compost and pour it in a pot over the roots, and that'll just keep the thing fine. But what's important is where you're going to put this tree, Peter.
Yeah.
Because the best place for them is the shed or the garage, unheated.
Yeah.
The unheated shed or garage is really the best place. And I would go for a shed rather than a garage, quite honestly. If you've got one, it tends to be a bit colder at nights, which is all to the good, to retain a dormancy and stop the tree and any root growth at all from happening. We don't want that happening at this time of year. The worst thing you can do is to decide, well, let's put it in the greenhouse or something like that.
Yes, it doesn't want to be too warm.
Because even on days like this, really cold days, if that sun comes out, then, the temperature is going to rise dramatically in the greenhouse behind some glass.
Yeah.
And then you will be in a problem. So put them in the shed, having unpacked the tree to make sure it's okay. And if the roots have not got any compost around them, either put some back in a plastic bag, some compost, and then put the tree in there. Or, as I say, get a good-sized pot and just pop the roots in there and then pour some compost on the top.
I mean, if you have potted them up, they could even go really close to the house wall, couldn't they, outside?
Oh, they can, yeah. The proper healing in against the house wall, that's absolutely fine. That's a good place to put them.
A lot of commercial growers will now plant in February, won't they? Sort of cold store the trees and plant quite late.
Yes, commercial growers will be much, much later than that, Peter.
Oh, will they?
They'll be in May and June now.
Really?
Yes, only where they have irrigation.
Right.
So, yes, prolonged periods for a tree. The tree lifting is all done before Christmas. Nurseries are rushing at the moment to get done, really, before any of the really, really bad, heavy weather comes in. And then they'll be put into cold storage, and they'll be run at temperatures, those cold stores, of around about plus one half a degree. They have a very high humidity inside those stores, 100% humidity. They'll be carried out in a great fog. You can't see the one side or the other of them. And those trees will keep there. Well, they'll keep fine, actually, for almost a year.
Goodness. If you take them out of a cold store like that and you plant in May, blimey, they'll grow like radish, won't they?
I have seen them. No word of a lie, Peter. I have seen a dormant tree come out of a cold store in June, planted with irrigation, and in 7 days, the tree is on blossom. It's remarkable. But that's the power of warm soils.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hope that's given some ideas of what you should do. I think we should now go on, Peter, into when the weather does turn a bit more clement, how are we going to plant this tree? Because this is going to be the next important thing.
Yes, and who knows? The weather can change. As fast as it's changed cold, it can change back, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So if you've already dug your hole, then I suggest you put your coat on and go and fill it back in again. That will be about, at least you'll get warm.
Yeah.
And it's about the worst thing you can do is to have a hole open, because obviously it's soon going to fall with water. Water's going to drain into the lowest part, and that's going to be a disaster. So don't be tempted to dig a hole already. But when the day comes when you do want to plant, and it's nice overhead, and it's not too sticky underfoot, then dig your hole out. And I would suggest that you dig out probably a hole 1.5 times as big as you want it to be, really. Think of the hole you want for the roots, and then dig it, well, go on, go twice as big.
Yeah.
Dig that hole out, put the soil to one side, and if you're on clay types of soils, which are very, very heavy, and you can see it's going to be difficult to put some nice crummy soil back round the roots, then you're going to have to do something with the spoil that you've taken out of that hole.
You'll need a bit of sort of planting compost or something like that.
You'll need some good planting compost, and I would avoid at all cost for this job a peat-based planting compost.
Right.
I would go very much for the planting compost mixtures which are made out of green waste nowadays.
Right. Yep.
Or just buy bags of green waste. I know they're sold in the garden centres, or you can get them from your council nowadays. They will be ideal for planting back in and for lightening the soil that you've got. I would be all for really taking the spoil from the hole and then mixing it 50-50.
Right. I mean, you could use garden compost too, couldn't
you? Of course you can.
If you've got some nicely rotted stuff.
Of course you can, yes, indeed.
Or old grow bag compost. Yeah.
Yes, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But make sure, you know, do not fill the whole back with peat or something like that, because once that stuff dries out, you can never re-wet it in the soil, and that will be a rotten start for that tree. So a nice big hole, fork over the bottom, make sure there's drainage going down, put the fork in, break it over as best you can. There's no need really to put any stone back in a hole like that. And then put your tree in there, making sure that the height is correct. Remember, that tree needs to be planted at the same depth that it came out the nursery. And that's very, very easy to see on the stem of the tree. You'll see exactly where it came out the nursery, totally different coloured bark. So that's got to be at the soil level. And then hold your tree up. Remember to have put your stake in the hole before you put the tree in as well.
Yeah, then you don't damage the roots. Yeah.
And then you don't damage the roots. Don't knock any of those big roots off. And make sure that stake's in there good and firm, and that you've got a good quality tree tie as well. The belt type are very, very good. And make sure that there is a good buffer between the tree and that stake. You don't want the tree rubbing against that stake and taking the bark off during the rest of the winter, or indeed next year when it starts to grow.
Yeah. Now, what about planting distances then, Will? Because commercially now, trees are being planted much closer together, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Well, if you go into some very old books, then you're going to find details about planting cordon trees. And at the turn of the century, that's the last century, the proper turn of the century, not this modern sort, you'll find that planting distance for cordons was 18 inches apart. 50 centimetres is a planting distance for trees now at the moment. 50 centimetres is too close in my view, but 75 and 80 centimetres is now the usual planting distance for trees in a commercial orchard, and there's no reason why a gardener can't have exactly the same sorts of success. Now, you may be asking, why are we planting them that close, for goodness sake? You know, we've got this room, we've got quite a bit of room in the garden, why are we going to plant them that close? Well, it's really all about getting the maximum amount of cropping wood into a small space. And this is how we can achieve very, very large yields off a very short run of trees.
I've got, I think, five different apples, about 2 foot spaced.
Yep.
And the trunk was shaped like an S.
Yes.
But now, of course, there's branches growing, particularly where the bends are.
Yes.
And I'm weaving those in, so it's really like a hedge.
Yes, that's right. And indeed, there is a system of growing called hedgerow. Commercially they're about 3 meters high, but are no wider than about 2 foot, and off those trees you'll be picking crops to the equivalent of 100 tons to a hectare of land.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean,
it's a huge amount. It would be equating to something like 400 to 500 fruits a tree.
It's amazing.
Something like that.
You know, I mean, certainly my trees are producing more than our family can eat. You know, I've got things like red Falstaff, Egremont Russet. I have got one Braeburn, which is quite useful because it's late. In fact, I didn't pick it until the end of November.
Yeah, and quite honestly, Braeburn, of the varieties that are out there, then Braeburn is an ideal garden tree. It's very easy to pollinate. It is not an excessive growing tree. In fact, you need almost to energize it when it starts cropping. And it crops on both 1 and 2 year old wood.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the perfect tree. It'll give you wonderful crops.
And when you talk about energize, that's providing some water if the weather's dry, especially on the eastern side of the country, and also feeding regularly.
Yes, it is. It's both. And how much water? Well, let me again give you an idea. Let's go back to the commercial plantings. Generally, they will be irrigating fruit trees from the time when the tree is just about to come into flower, and then right the way through until probably the end of July, start of August. After that, it doesn't make too much difference. But they'll be irrigating each tree to the tune of about 1 litre a day.
And as early as just coming into flower?
Yes, that's vital. On pears, it's earlier than that. If you want really good pears, then as soon as bud burst occurs, so that's late February on pear usually, very early March perhaps, then you never let the soil dry out.
Goodness, yeah.
It's always held at field capacity, the water. But feeding, that is crucial, and I'm afraid, and I understand why, but I'm afraid that very few gardeners feed fruit trees.
And so what would you recommend? When you're feeding the roses, you use a good dose of rose fertiliser?
You would do. Grow More is absolutely fine, but I would be putting it on at quite high levels. When you want to get big crops of trees, then you apply nitrogen.
Oh, really?
Now,
will you keep upsetting all of our long-held and traditional systems, don't you?
Here
you've got planting the damn things in May and you're watering them before they've started to flower.
Well, you know, we're learning so much more by, you know, research and development. Our scientists have learned so much more about how a tree... Can you imagine, Peter, that a good crop of apple, when I started my career, which is... nearly just coming up to 50 years ago, a good crop of apple was something like 12 tonnes to the acre. That was a good crop.
Well, when I worked for the original Lawrence Taylor,
yep.
Then it was 5 or 6 tonnes.
It would have been 5 or 6 tonnes, yeah, you're right.
And damn great trees and ladders that we were going up and down, yes.
Yep. Yeah. And now if you don't get 45 tonnes an acre plus, then you aren't going to make a living.
I mean, that's, you know, times four. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's just through our greater understanding of how a tree works, the importance of light, sunlight hitting fruit buds, and the importance of feeding. And when I tell you, when you're getting crops of 100 tonnes a hectare, and you can do that year after year, and from the third year of planting, the tree's 3 years old, and you're achieving 100 tonnes a hectare...
Well, that's just what gardeners want. You know, we're in a hurry. We can't
you
wait.
Are in a
we
hurry.
Can't wait. We don't plant pears for our heirs anymore.
No, and there's no need to even think about doing that. Not very far up the road from where you and I both come from in Essex, just to the north of Essex, an orchard which I'm very, very closely associated with, that's now 8 years old, and for the last 4 years, it's come in at 70 tonnes a hectare of conference pear.
Goodness. What? Yeah.
We apply nitrogen to about 170 units of nitrogen per acre.
Well, it's always useful to speak to you. And boy, how the world is changing. Thank you very much for giving us time today.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
And a happy fruit growing.
Oh, my postscript today is a little bit of research coming from Australia, of all places, where they were looking at Christmas trees. And there, the research indicates that your Christmas tree will stay healthy longer if harvested, in other words, if it's cut, after cold weather. And there they say 5 degrees centigrade or 41 degrees Fahrenheit. So the tree is fully dormant. And the other thing, they did a whole series of trials and found that if you sprayed the foliage with hairspray, that helped the tree to stay fresh indoors. Now, be careful, because hairspray is very inflammable. We used to use an anti-desiccant spray, especially on conifers when they were transplanted in September and again in March, April. But I haven't seen that about lately. And, of course, hairspray would do the same kind of job, I suppose. But please... With fire, always a risk. Be careful. Thanks again to our sponsor, Thompson & Morgan. can I take this opportunity to wish you a very happy Christmas and successful growing new year. From both Charlie Jones, my producer, and from me. Yes, have a good Christmas.